Fellas, getting engaged is a special time for many. The only thing that's not so special is buying an engagement ring when you have no idea what you're doing. Look at you, you little idiot. You got no idea what you're doing. Lucky for us, that's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler and has been helping couples create the perfect ring since 1999. A very, very familiar date for me. Now look, imagine spending all this money on an engagement ring only to find out there was a better deal after the fact. With Blue Nile, you don't need to worry because they offer a diamond price guarantee, which means they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a similar diamond. With Blue Nile, you can create bigger, more brilliant pieces at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they're committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also guarantees service and repair for life, as well as 100% satisfaction guarantee with free shipping and returns. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, I recommend you check out BlueNile.com. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Chuckle Sandwich Podcast. This is apparently the number 6 comedy podcast on Spotify, according to a certain metric. We have no idea what that entails.
If that is indicative of how much numbers don't mean anything, I don't know what is.
We don't even know if it's true.
Why are we on the comedy charts, guys? This has never been good. This has never been funny, and yet we keep climbing.
We should really be on the crime charts.
This should be on the atrocities chart.
I agree. True crime. We commit it every time.
Crimes against mankind.
Influencers are ruining the world. I'm sure that every single podcast host that's been doing this, they've been grinding every day, the blood, sweat, and tears they put into this podcast grind, and then they just see these fucking asshole 20-year-olds just climb up the charts.
They just see us climbing.
Their hands are bloodied from punching walls all day for the last several days, weeks even. Welcome back. Last episode we had Minx on the podcast, and today it's just us on our lonesome.
Can we never have her back on again?
Thank God.
We considered bringing her on as our new member, but unfortunately, after the podcast recording ended, her and Schlatt got into a really, really serious argument. If you want to elaborate on that, Schlatt.
Yeah. Well, we were actually talking about why she sent a box of butt plugs to my house.
Yeah, I don't think that there's quite an answer to that question.
No, and I'd like to not talk about it again, Ted.
Oh, okay. You've got it.
I don't like just a minx.
We won't talk about the package of sensual blood.
There were different sizes, too. She texted me, like, work up. You know, get practicing.
A butt plug charcuterie? Is that an appropriate
name? Yeah, yeah.
She didn't even ask. It's completely inappropriate. She didn't even ask if you already had any. It's just...
I know. She just assumed. Assumed I'd never broken my butt in.
Exactly. Exactly. And now you've got two big boxes of butt.
That's the worst thing a person can do. That's the worst thing a person can do, too. Just assuming that you haven't broken your butt in.
And Ted, Ted, for the record, it's charcuterie, all right? But you will not say charcuterie in my household.
What the fuck is charcuterie? What are you guys saying?
You know, charcuterie. It's from the Charcut region.
What pasta is this? Do I put pesto on this, or do I put the
Italian sauce? What are you doing, Tony?
Oh, either way, recently I kind of became sort of badass. I'd like to talk about it. I'm sure that some of our...
I saw you actually on the Oscar nominees, and no one can disprove that because no
Oscars
one watched.
Just happened.
You were there. You were there. It was incredible.
It's true.
You know, they didn't...
what are you going to do? Say I'm wrong? How the fuck would you know?
Is it the Oscars, you know, it was really, really strange how the Oscars didn't invite me.
It was similar
to the podcast host in which we blew past with the speed of 1,000 suns. I was bloodying my hands when the Oscars didn't bring me to the show Because I was ready
just
to get
like
up
you
on
bloodied all the bones in my body a couple years ago.
Exactly. You know very well firsthand, Schlatt, about what that is all about.
Yeah. I poor mean, choice of words. Business. Firsthand, really.
You barely
dude,
use
really?
My hand
you
anymore.
Are sick. You are sick, man.
Yeah. But since the Oscars just happened, I suppose it would be fun to talk about my experience. Because I did one of the biggest videos that I've ever done recently, which was my... Thank you. Appreciate that.
And it turned out great, by the way. It was really good, and I'm jealous.
Thank you very much, Charles.
You got this opportunity.
Yeah, I worked with Universal. For those of you who are Schlatt or Charles fans who don't follow my channel, I worked with Universal, and I did a sponsorship with them. They had this new movie, Nobody, with beautiful Robert Odenkirk. Who it's basically John Wick, but with like an older middle-aged man that's already got kids, and he's got like this internal fucking rage that he used to be like a special forces agent of some degree. I think it's gonna be a series, but Universal reached out to me, or really they reached out to my manager, and they were like, hey, we want to do influencer marketing, so we're gonna have you work with us, Universal Studios, the movie studio, and
that is
we're
so
gonna
insane, dude.
And we're going to have you, or so cool. I guess Universal Pictures, and we're gonna have you recreate a scene from this movie. And me, fucking filmmaker Ted, hey, look at me, I'm making YouTube videos, and I'm feeling like I'm a piece of shit for not making anything of artistic quality. I'm like,
went to film
shit.
School, finally time to put it to fucking
yes,
use. finally time.
For real.
Honestly, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who go there a long time without utilizing their degree. I'm like my mom went to school for kinesiology.
Yeah. Oh.
She's like not a kinesiologist. I think that's like physical therapy or something. I think that's the old word for physical therapy or something like that.
And what does your mom do now?
Oh, she's like a
that's what they used to burn people at the stake for.
She's like she's like an administrative manager at this company that they like.
Yeah.
Do you guys have parents that just don't know what, like, you, no matter how many times they tell you, you just don't know really what their job is? Because it's so
For the life of me, I can't figure out what Charlie's mother does.
Okay, well, Charlie's mom is probably the easiest one.
Well, Schlatt, I can always
I just don't
remind
get it.
You.
She's just
let's
straight
stick,
up a baker.
Let's stick this question in the oven and let it rise up a little bit.
Hey, nice.
Yeah, she's. But either way, it was really cool that Universal reached out. And what was even cooler was that I got to do the... Originally, what was going to happen, so what I did was I met up with this guy who is the stunt coordinator on the film. He's an action actor, which means that he acts and does his own stunts. He was on an episode of Barry. If you guys have seen the show Barry, he was this guy, I think his name was like, I forget what his name was, but it was this
Barry.
Guy spent this entire Barry. Episode. Barry was trying to keep this guy in line. It was Daniel Bernhardt, and he was in a bunch of, he's in a bunch of movies and shit. He was in John Wick. He was like one of the main bad guys in John Wick that fought Keanu Reeves.
Barry.
John.
Yeah. Good old John. And he also got his legs broken by Harley Quinn in the new Harley Quinn movie, Birds of Prey.
Ooh.
Harley. Are we just gonna keep saying the name every time? It was originally what they were gonna do was have me just do it over Zoom.
Oh no!
Yeah, right. And what I was, hell? and I was like totally hounded my manager, and I was like, dude, you gotta make it. You gotta bother Universal until they let me do this shit. Like,
what did they want you to do on Zoom?
They send you one of those like human flesh
they
torso replicas and just a knife and get on call with you.
They wanted me to meet with Daniel over Zoom exclusively. Yeah,
and that's Daniel. It. Just talk with him, like tell a few jokes.
No,
like
I had done some other Zoom calls with him where I did the practice, the moves and stuff. But then after all of that was through, like halfway through the process of doing the sponsorship, they were like, "Hey, you can actually meet up with Daniel and do this shit in person."
Daniel.
And that totally changed the video, I think, for me.
Yeah. Well, you got the in person experience now. Now you can really kill people.
Yeah,
right?
Honestly,
you know how to do some hits, take some falls.
Does this make you guys nervous
break
at all?
Break some glass. Nervous?
No, we already, because
if you,
no,
if you wanted us dead, we would be, Ted, at the end of the day, right?
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true, Ted. I mean, I'm the only carrier here.
You're the only carrier?
Carrier.
What does that mean?
Of various illnesses and weaponry.
You carry... You carry illnesses and little bottles.
That's what I do. I carry tiny little vials.
Flat just opens up a briefcase and he's got a bunch of syringes. Like one's like measles, another's like malaria.
Yep.
Sneaks up behind people. That makes you way more dangerous than me.
And I could probably carry Schlatt's, so now I'm at the top of the food chain.
I break Schlatt's arm once with a bat in his childhood, and that causes him to become a man that carries around a briefcase full of every disease.
Different plagues.
I was put in charge of, I remember when they put me in charge of killing Kim Jong-nam in an airport.
Yeah. How'd that go? What was your assassination thing of choice?
Shouldn't have said that.
You wouldn't know it. They haven't seen it in 200 years.
Plague.
Yeah, just some plague.
Just a plague.
I scooped it out of the European mud. found a strain.
Pretty much any time they open up an Egyptian tomb, there's some disease that comes out of that they haven't seen in 5,000 years. So.
I go to different openings and then open them up and then catch whatever it is in a bottle.
I go to case openings.
Egyptian tomb CSGO case opening.
Yep, I'm there.
Can you imagine too?
Legendary.
You open it up and then you just see like these dimensions just sliding across until it just eventually lands on the one. And it's like, oh great, you got a what's that one knife called?
Karimba. Sharp. What they're called?
Karambit. Karambit. Karambit.
You got a karambit locust swarm.
Oh wow. Karambit fade. A soft like light. Glows whenever you bust open the case and you're like, oh, is this a legendary?
Oh, sweet, epic frog plague.
Oh my god, it's a legendary. It's the soul of a little child that had been trampled by horses in 800 BC. Fantastic.
You open one up, it's just like a blue light, and everyone's like, fuck! You know?
Holy shit!
Oh my god, yeah. And then all of the workers that... Because, you know... You ever notice how in all of those movies, it's always
that's a Gretchen soul right there.
It's always all of those workers that are clearly like locals in Egypt or something, and then there's that like one fucking white guy that comes in with his sunglasses and his like Hawaiian shirt, and he's like work, and he's like just being an asshole to everyone.
Yeah.
They always get the short end of the stick. But yeah, I mean. Speaking of disease, I mean, I'm a little bit more dangerous, though, Schlatt. I mean, I can't speak to
you
say are. That I have a briefcase full of...
Speaking of diseases, let's go back to you, Ted.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Wow. Thanks for that. Oh, appreciate that. Literal name after slime is your username?
Hey, listen, man. Listen, we're number six for a reason, all right? It's all fun and games here. It's all fun and games.
You're a bit more dangerous now, Ted.
I am a bit more dangerous. And one of the really, really cool things that I got to do was Universal invited me to this really, really cool thing, which was a showing of the movie Nobody. It was a drive-through showing of it. In Universal Studios.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And they had I don't know what the type of like this type of event necessarily is for. I think it's for like some of it is like journalism and some of it
journalism.
Is like friend like
might just be press and influencers.
Like
they kind of scoop
I think it's
them
press
together.
Influencers and friends and family. Because they had this it was a quote unquote drive through experience that they had. And it was I was driving through this Universal thing through the back lot, and they've got this and they have an entire fucking suburbs like colonial houses, a straight up street, lawns, suburbs. There are suburbs within Universal Studios in the middle
like
of LA
a set?
That are it's like a set, but it looks like they're all houses. There's just straight up completely built houses.
It's wild.
And we were driving through that, and you put your radio to a certain thing so it plays like music, kind of like how you would do a drive through, but this was for the experience part, and they had an entirely choreographed 360 thing. Like you're sitting in your car, and you've got these all actors that they hired to do this like fight scene that was representative of the movie right before the screening. And it was like was very interesting. It was like a theater show, but it was for the movie. It was really, really weird, but it was really, really cool. So that was.
I didn't even know about this part actually.
Oh yeah, no, I hadn't told. I don't think I've. I forgot to tell you guys about this part. Yeah, no, that was like. It was probably one of the definitely the coolest sponsorships I've ever gotten to do because it came with all these things. Oh, hey, hey, thanks for doing this thing for us. Come go to this cool screening thing for the movie. It felt like I was part
of the
process.
I like it when they make it an experience.
Right? It was like I felt like I was – it definitely wasn't a fucking Wish sponsorship, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You always get as a YouTuber, you get these crappy ass I'm about to sneeze. I'm gonna I'm gonna power through. You always get these crappy sponsorships.
Come on.
Over here doing fucking Raid Shadow Legends, and Ted is going to goddamn movies and shit. I'm jealous. How do you get that? Who do I have to talk to? Whose cock do I have to give a little tickle to?
I don't know. I think that it's tough because I think that because of the style of channel I have a very different style of channel from you guys. That's
true.
Because they went there.
I want them to dress Lat and I up like the Raid Shadow Legends characters and have us like fight in a cobblestone room. That would be a sponsor worth.
That would be
right
cool.
There.
That would be cool. Fellas, getting engaged is a special time for many. The only thing that's not so special is buying an engagement ring when you have no idea what you're doing. Look at you, you little idiot. You got no idea what you're doing. Lucky for us, that's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler and has been helping couples create the perfect ring since 1999. A very, very familiar date for me. Now look, imagine spending all this money on an engagement ring only to find out there was a better deal after the fact. With Blue Nile, you don't need to worry because they offer a diamond price guarantee, which means they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a similar diamond. With Blue Nile, you can create bigger, more brilliant pieces at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they're committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also guarantees service and repair for life, as well as 100% satisfaction guarantee with free shipping and returns. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, I recommend you check out BlueNile.com. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Also, probably the bigger that you guys get, like a lot of those games will just be like, hey, we're going to design a character. Because they didn't Dream get something like that. He got like a character.
He got a Dream Dragon.
In Age of Dragons.
I know this
because
I looked
at
it and I was like, I want like a
I remember looking at it. It was like a six-legged, it looked like a monster. It was terrifying.
Tangentially related to Dream. Like they were making it anyway and put a smiley face on it, but like still.
It genuinely, like if you add that Dream face to anything else than what his normal branding is, it looks like a Ghibli movie demon. Like,
ooh, that's true.
It does from fucking Spirited Away. Just like has the mask on it. Yeah.
The actual working with Daniel was really, really cool. It was within the 87 North was the production company that did it, but the actual name of that location was 8711 Action Design. And the guy that was recording my footage, Jeremy, he was super, super fun to work with. Jeremy. I looked him up on, he's got like this whole laundry list on IMDb of all of the shit that he's worked on. He's recording, they got him to just like film my YouTube video for me. And this guy has worked on like, he's been a stunt guy in like Marvel movies. He's like all this fucking shit. He literally has been working in this industry since like 2008. The dude's holding the camera for my
YouTube video. And then in wanders Theodore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like. Yeah, it was weird because it was such an interesting mixture of like them being really not understanding what I do, but being very, very like excited about it. And then also me personally, where I come from with my film shit, just feeling totally out of my depth, like just working with them. And they're all like, oh, yes, yes. Oh, another, if you haven't seen the movie, too, when I did the they gave me like a little. In the movie, there's this one point where Bob is like, he's trying to get this kitty cat bracelet back from the bad guys. And when I was doing the Universal Experience thing, they gave me like a copy of the actual kitty cat bracelet prop. They give that to everyone as they're coming in.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun.
But either way, I mean, That was
Did
pretty
you get
much...
to keep the rubber weapons?
I do, yeah. I've got them in the back.
Ah, that's fun. Nice. That's the one thing.
All of the rubber weapons I got to keep. And I was surprised, too, that I still have... One of the things that I didn't use was a squib kit. They gave me a squib kit, which is like you can do the gunshot.
That's for blood hits and shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have one of those. So like we could use that for a bit at some point. And some I could just bust really that out in some video in the future.
You totally should.
Nah,
totally
that's should. That's called not committing here on the Chuckle Sandwich podcast. Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, Ted, I got a question about this.
I got a squib kit. It's called organs. Hmm?
We do it real or we don't we do it all.
We earn the
I actually have a couple vials that kind of could help with Charlie that.
No, I'm not, worried about those may be tainted with a, I don't even know what.
I mean, come on. Graveyards are like the second most common thing around, I think. So, I mean, if you're not willing to go dig up Cheryl.
I'm sorry. Did you just say graveyards are the second most common thing? What the fuck does that even mean?
Everybody dies. Everybody
what is the
dies.
What is the most common thing? Heart disease? Like what?
I guess maybe heart disease and graveyards are connected in that they are the most common thing because one causes the other.
Oh, what's God. This list? What's this fucking I'm list saying, of the most common saying, things?
I'm just going off of what Charlie's saying about using real blood and stuff. If you're trying to make the movies, you
it's weird
go
that number three is. Fine. It's weird that number three is dead people, right? Like you'd think it would be. Maybe the same, graveyards,
you know?
Is still number two. It's,
well, Charlie, you know why
like
it is.
They like make an extra tombstone? Why?
You know why dead people are less more common than graveyards? Is because there are people who buy their grave spots in advance before they die.
But then they don't.
They use them once they die, they use them.
They don't use them?
Can you imagine having to rent...
How inappropriate rent out that space. That space all for nothing.
Imagine that. You lease out grave space. you just like own an entire graveyard. Is that how graveyards work?
No, it's not. I mean, I don't know.
Connor eats piss. Welcome to the Chuckle Sandwich Podcast.
Man.
Finally a good guest.
Connor's back, everybody.
On.
Thank God.
Connor, have you ever died?
Look at how many
fuck? Connor got sent a box of Skittles.
Now, hold on. There's 9 of these.
We got sent 9 boxes
times 9? Hold on.
Jesus Christ.
Who's sending you Skittles? Is it Skittles?
Skittles
himself?
Is. He's just in with Skittles somehow.
What? Well, he's going to get the Connor burger too. I saw Connor on Twitter
talking up to
Mr. Beast.
That. Don't say that. Thanks, Connor. I don't want to talk about that until there's a slurger. And that's Connor.
Best you know member. Charlie, you know, I think slurger would probably be the worst name for a burger under your name.
Slurger would be mine.
Slurger?
Mine would be slurger.
Yeah, if anything
slurger.
No,
yours would
be
there's slurger. There's an emphasis. Yours would be slurger.
Wow.
Slurger.
Yeah.
Schlurger. It sounds like you're throwing something up, but it's not.
Mine would be the BL Ted. I have very strong opinions on BLTs. I know how to make a good BLT.
Ooh.
What's in a good BLT?
What were we talking about before Connor came
in? What I wanted to say was that I was very jealous of one part in your video in specific that you didn't really talk about that much, where you were just in the gym with all the stunt coordinators beating the shit out of each other. That was the part I was most excited
about.
Looked
really
like there were
like...
some parts where even some of you got like thrown around and quite a bit of distance into like soft objects. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, you would really like that gym, Charlie, I think. You know why?
I would. That's why I'm jealous.
That entire floor that I was on, that blue floor, is bouncy.
Is it a spring floor?
Yeah.
Spring floors are fucking cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, you can...
Because they can just do falls and shit and you're not going to get hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Overall, it was a very, very, very cool experience. It was one of those experiences, and this is a little life lesson for all of you, especially our audio listeners out there, love you to death. That I was a little bit unsure when I had the option to do it. It was like they came out and they were like, hey, you want to do this? Because it seemed at first glance, you know, I've never done a video like that before. And it was very, very nerve-wracking. But one thing that I kind of had a moment at one point where I wasn't sure. And then I realized, I was like, oh, shit, this is one of those moments in like life where you have to do something that's a where you it where you because you're not going to get those experiences in like school or something anymore where you do something that you feel like you're not prepared to do and that you have to. The only way you're going to figure that shit out is if you take these things that, where you feel a little bit out of your depth. And I would definitely suggest that for all of you out there, if you feel like there's a project you don't know if you should do, just fucking try.
What'd they have you do?
I mean, I had to pull together an entire crew and recreate this scene and direct it and contact everyone.
It was
location.
Yeah, and you had to do the stunts with everyone and speak with bottom. It was a lot.
I had to teach the moves to Ryan and Hunter and Mr. Sir Spence, which were they were fucking fantastic too. They learned that shit really fast, and they, you know, they don't have any experience with that kind of stuff, so it was really cool that they were willing to do that. But
that is such a cool experience.
Yeah,
Jesus.
No, it was really cool.
I agree with you though. I had a moment like that when I was in when I was still studying in college, and when I was going to fly out to the same day I was going to fly out to Dublin to study abroad for a semester. I had Ubisoft want to fly me out to like fucking West Virginia for Far Cry 5 or something. And
see,
like,
Schlatt, that's exactly in the zone that I'm thinking would be the equivalent.
Yeah. And there hasn't been much since the pandemic, which is a shame, but like drive around on ATVs and like all this crazy shit. And I wanted to do it like so badly, but it was the same day I left, for abroad. And I was just trying to figure out what I'd do. And then my stepdad was like, it's fine. You'll probably get opportunities like this again. And then the pandemic happened. I haven't been able to ride in an ATV.
Dude, I'm telling you, once the you're doing the best you've ever done, Charlie. Once the pandemic ends, you're going to be able to do all those cool things. They're going to come. I believe it.
You think Ubisoft's going to see my slimesicle clips
online? Ubisoft
has
some pretty pretty big pockets. The first time that I ever went to PAX East, before I was ever a content creator.
Ubisoft and I are pretty
Was it Ubisoft that did The Division?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Moses, before The Division was like literally like in 2013 or something, maybe 2012. No, I think 2013. Moses was it had just been announced and Moses was like one of the only cosplayers. This is back when Moses did cosplay for The Division, and they invited Moses. They gave Moses free tickets to PAX, and I got one of those tickets. So that was
that's probably the earliest
time that I ever experienced that sort of like free influencer kind of stuff. Like the closest
Ubisoft
thing to
does
that.
A lot of that actually. That's also how I met the Corridor Digital guys. So they do a lot more of those events.
I wanted
events.
To
There's,
meet those motherfuckers,
dude. And I did too, and it was a little awkward. But that was one of the moments where I was glad. Like I saw them and I was like, if I don't approach them now, even if I'm weird, at least I approach them. You know what I mean?
Those guys
like,
are.
At least I did it.
I have so much respect for those guys. They are so cool. They are so talented, and they wear so many hats in what they do, and they're just
not do what they do. And like that is something that to me when I don't know that like means a lot.
Yeah. No, it was very cool. Schlatt, what was the biggest thing? I mean, so you've only done the Raid Shadow Legends. I mean, you're
yeah, I have not taken any crazy ad deals. Which is why when we had that conversation with Gus Johnson back in his episode, and he was talking about the relationship between Hollywood, this kind of old media, and this new YouTube influencer culture kind of thing. And I'm just wondering, like, I mean, you met all these crazy people who are all old media, you know, how did they treat you? Would you say they respected the influencer life of Ted Nivison?
They were pretty much the only people that I had like truly met was Daniel and all the guys that worked at 8711, and they were all super super like cool, helpful, nice. They were just treating it like it was any other like job, and like, you know, when you're, I mean, they were just very very friendly. And I think people in the film industry in general, from my experience and from the sets that I've been on, like as long as you're working hard and you're not a fuck ass, like the people are going to be, everyone's in the, a lot of times on sets, everyone's in the shit together. But whatever the case, these guys were very, very friendly and it was cool. But I do agree that I think that Universal has never done anything like this before. So I was trying to, in me going out of the way to make it like as use as much of my film shit as possible. I was also kind of trying to make sure that Universal was like,
let's do it again.
Like, not necessarily for me, but just for YouTubers in general. Like, that's a really cool thing that I hope that they keep doing, because I saw so, and I wouldn't have ever accepted a brand deal of that size if I didn't truly believe that this was like one of the coolest things that I could do for a, like an entirely sponsored video. I've never done a fully integrated video like that before, but like, that's so cool. And that's like such a thing that interests me that it was not a cop out at all. It wasn't like, oh, hey, watch this movie. I don't care about the movie. It was good. It's like, so it was like, I had no reason not to, but, I forget what I was saying.
Dedicated videos are weird. Like, it's one of those things where I've done quite a few over on Slumpical, and I always like play the game for like 30 minutes or like an hour first to make sure it's something that I don't know. You always want to make the good content first, right? So it's like, if this is conducive to doing that, sure. And you had like this opportunity is something I think you'd regret if you passed up. Like, I'm very glad you did.
Yeah. So the one thing that I noticed about being in the comments was that people were saying that, oh, hey, I saw this movie being advertised to me and I wouldn't have normally seen it, but now that you've worked with a YouTuber and Universal was cool enough to do something with a YouTuber, something that relates to me more of shit that I like to watch, I'll check out this movie. It actually seems interesting, because they honestly had a really cool concept of how they would like turn that into a video. Originally, it was their original idea was it was going to be like a challenge between William Osmond and I, but that didn't really make too much sense because we're both doing separate videos. I feel like if there was a challenge between the two of us, it had to be one video. So it was like, we both kind of decided just, hey, we're going to do our own kind of journey on our own. But either way, I mean, it was very cool. And I think that Universal will definitely got a lot of respect points from the online world for doing something like that, which is cool.
And maybe that's why they did it. Or maybe Universal, like all corporations, has a heart, guys. Come on.
Disney, or Mickey Mouse, is a real boy.
Come on. When Walt Disney founded
this company, he wanted to spread love to everybody. And he loved everybody.
And he loved you.
Exactly. And he loved you. Disney is a person. Disney is a person, and we should treat them as such.
And I am going to rent gravestone space and lease it to people for a monthly fee when they die.
Transnational multimedia conglomerates are people. Isn't that a moment in some show or some dystopian?
I think that's a moment in real life.
Yeah, it is. Like, legally, let's be considered as people. I feel like this happened. I don't want to slip on my words here.
A company can be considered a person?
I remember some political, old fucking political cartoon about this. Maybe it was like lobbying or something, but like a big oil baron in the back. I don't know if anyone fucking knows what I'm talking about right now.
Something, maybe an oil baron.
Dude,
Schlatt, if you were born in another age, you would definitely be the poster child for an oil baron.
Yeah.
So I would be an oil baron.
Think about that? Yeah, I would. I would be an oil baron, you know?
Like,
what that sounds like?
Ha-ha! So, you want to buy 5 stock in my company? You want to invest in my railroad?
No, I don't. My family is just starving. They're starving.
Well, maybe if you work a little harder, boy, you'll be able to afford some more food at my company store.
I just want a drop of water, and all you give me is this black oil.
You're closed into my walled garden.
My lungs are dark.
You're closed into my walled garden. Your lungs don't work, and you will buy my Snickers bars for 5 times the market value.
Please, I just want benefits in all you give me is just more oil.
No! You don't get benefits! And sin.
Schlatt wakes up in the morning and he says, seems like a wonderful day for some good old-fashioned union busting.
God.
So, I mean, I did the Universal trip, and then I got drunk in Vegas. It was
$5
great.
$5 a day? No fucking way!
For only 8 hours of work?
I don't think so.
If you're not working for 24 hours, then you're not working hard enough at all.
$5 a wage?
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Perhaps that is a wage for children. Oh, great idea.
If the poor can't afford not to inhale fumes, then do they really have the right to breathe?
Perhaps you should invest in better lungs.
Have you ever guys read, have you read the book or seen the movie Repo Men?
No.
No.
Repo Men is this, it's this world in which there's a company that has created artificial lungs. And I think you can kind of tell where this is going.
Yeah.
They're really expensive. And you, if you can't pay
you die.
For the lungs or the liver or the heart, artificial heart, they will come and they will repossess their property from you. Because like, imagine this, you like, you're buying a heart. Or you need a replacement heart, and they, you know, and they offer it, and it's like $150,000.
Yeah, I think this is, I think you're talking about Nestle right now.
Nestle is definitely one of the worst companies that exists in the world.
They're on the fast track to just being what you just described. I mean, let's be honest.
I agree. Well, honestly, I'd go as far to say that Amazon is heading that route real quick. Don't you think? I mean, they've got the fucking stores. They've got
the ease of accessibility for this artificial heart I need to survive is just, it's just so good.
Amazon organs.
Yeah, Amazon just outcompetes everyone.
Amazon health.
Industry. It's a problem.
Amazon health.
Problem. Yeah. Hey guys, listen, if you're listening to this, and for whatever reason, this is an issue that's kind of close to me now. If for whatever reason, all right, you like to read and you listen to the Chuckle Sandwich podcast, buy your books from like Barnes & Noble or something, or a local bookstore. Don't buy it from Amazon, because Amazon's monopolizing the book market next. That's what's coming up. So watch, support your local fucking stores.
Buy local, folks. The buy world local. Is coming to an end.
It's all crashing down around us. And we're here. Don't have kids, because they'll just die. So
speaking of which, but by the way, before we move on to the other topic we have today, the 2020 census came out, and the population growth went down by 2% in this
let's
decade.
Let's go!
Nobody, 2% less babies.
Finally!
That's what I'm talking about.
Finally, let it all curve off and let us sink back into the primordial sludge so we can fucking try again in 3 million years.
Oh, the sun's going to blow
up. That's what I think here on the Chuckle Sandwich number 6 comedy podcast. Return to the sludge.
Number
right?
6. Why not number 1?
That's my brand. Return to the sludge.
Indeed. Listen to us on audio, by the way, folks. If you've got the chance, get us some downloads on audio, all right? Artificially pump that shit up so we're just so...
Stream Chuckle Sandwich.
So much more money if
stream
you...
Stream us.
We need you guys to scam for us, all right? We're trying to scam our way to the top. That's a lie if you don't know us listening to this podcast.
Hold on. Before we go any further, please allow us to fulfill a contractual obligation. Ted, I got a problem, man. I got a problem.
What's going on, Schlatt? What's going on?
I sleep on a twin mattress on the fucking floor.
Oh,
on the floor, Ted. And I've been sleeping on it since February when I moved into this new place. And you know what? I needed a change. I needed a change. How am I gonna sleep comfortably without a foundation, without a nice mattress, without a $100 mattress I found on Amazon? Oh,
how are you
God.
Gonna make
oh,
money if your sleeping is terrible?
I'll tell you. So thank you to the sponsor of today's episode of the Chuckle Sandwich Podcast, Helix Sleep.
Everybody's unique, and Helix knows that, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They've got soft, they've got medium, they've got firm mattresses.
Ooh.
Mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and great for warming you up if you sleep cold.
Do you sleep cold?
No, I sleep very hot.
Oh
yeah.
Nice.
And even Helix Plus mattress for plus size sleepers.
Why would you buy a mattress for someone else? Helix has a quiz on their site that you could take, and it'll tell you exactly the right mattress for you. I took the quiz and I arrived at the Midnight Lux. It is right in between the firm and the soft.
Schlatt actually has this mattress. This is what he sleeps on now. It's from Helix Sleep.
I sleep on the Helix now. They sent me the foundation, the mattress, a bed frame.
So if you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't even have to go to the mattress store ever again.
Helix was actually awarded the best mattress overall by GQ and Wired. So if you want one of these bad boys, you can go on down to helixsleep.com/chuckle for the best sleep of your life.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/chuckle.
That's helixsleep.com/chuckle for $200 off and two free pillows. Thank you to Helix Sleep for sponsoring today's episode. Now back to the show.
Guys, I got two really cute guinea pigs and I need a segue. Can someone give me a segue?
Charlie, hey. You got really two cute guinea pigs.
I did. Do you want to see them?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go get them. This is what we do, baby.
Fucking hate guinea pigs.
Okay, so
I fucking hate guinea
just
pigs.
Just a heads
I
up.
I don't know why he's doing this. What?
Just a heads up. It's two guinea pigs. They're both girls,
yeah.
Of course.
Awesome.
Okay.
Mochi and Fern. Okay.
That sounds cool.
Fern is a little new, so I'm not going to try and bring her down, but Mochi likes when I hold her, so I'm going to see if I can get her down here. We'll see what
all
happens.
Right.
Do you think
okay.
that you can...
You guys don't talk about anything too funny while I'm gone, okay? Don't get too funny
you know,
here.
We don't do that without you. You're the meat of the sandwich, Charlie.
We would never.
That's right.
We would never.
You're talking to a mayonnaise. You're talking to mayonnaise between two butt ends of bread right now.
You're not about to make this show go vegan. All right? You're
no,
not about to do
no,
it.
Well,
no.
Okay,
no,
hopefully
go up and get your little
soon.
Pet, and we'll see
you
in a minute.
Something's gone horribly wrong. It's a possibility. See you in a bit.
Okay.
Fucking hate guinea pigs.
God,
what
dude.
Rats.
Okay, the only real advantage to having a guinea pig is if you can teach it to kill. That's really applicable to any pet. And can you really teach a guinea pig to kill? I mean...
You hear that? You hear that, Mochi? There's a bunch of motherfuckers on the show saying some shit about you.
Oh,
saying some shit about you. Look at her.
Aww, I can't
see
her.
You can't even see her.
Very cute.
Wow.
If you guys
could
see
thing.
Her right now, you would be in disbelief. I'm gonna try.
I'm sure
her,
I would.
I'm gonna try.
I'm
and
sure
give her
I would
lettuce.
Be. I would not be able to believe. Oh yeah. So now,
she's so
now
gentle,
that
it's crazy.
So are you gonna train this thing to like kill?
This thing to kill? And you already know how, right, Mochi? Look at that. You
I
said
mean,
you said kill, and I felt her bloodlust spike a little.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah, here, I've got some lettuce for you. It's okay.
I have a question, Charlie. How are you going to prevent the terrible accidental death that most guinea pigs and hamsters are condemned to?
Why would you say this?
Like, well, I think that most small animals like that, everybody has this fucking story where at least one of them was like, I don't know, like their head was like a bucket was on the ground. And their head, they were partially under the bucket. And then they're, you know, like you come and sit down on the bucket. And then the fucking guinea pig like gets crushed in between
decapitated?
The lid of the bucket. And the eyes
oh
pop
God.
Out of the fucking head.
Can
and
you,
like that's just how it happens. That's how most of them die.
Well,
like some
I just hear
crazy shit like that.
You're wonderful, Mochi.
How are you going to protect
this
it?
I very
this
much
guy.
So hear often about hamsters just like throwing themselves out of
it's
shit.
It's okay, Mochi.
Yeah.
It's a comedy podcast, Mochi.
It's a comedy podcast. The sixth most popular one.
Sixth
yeah,
most popular.
Mochi can't understand English, though, Charlie.
Keep going, and it's going to turn into a true crime podcast. Isn't that right?
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
She's so fucking
I'm really
cute.
Enjoying Charlie's, what would you call this, a baby voice, I suppose?
This,
yeah.
Using with the guinea pig?
To, you're supposed to
I want Charlie to talk to me like this.
Hey, little schnatter. I'm using this voice because they get calmer if you use a voice like this. And
oh, really?
If you are watching this video version right now, which you should watch the audio or listen to the audio too, but she is just fucking up this lettuce like there is no tomorrow.
Wait, bring it up to the microphone so our audio listeners love you to
yeah,
death.
Yeah, I'm bringing.
Can hear it.
I'm bringing Jambo up to the microphone right now. Let me see if
okay.
he's in the mood to talk.
Let's see if Mochi is okay with
you. You ready, bud? This is your time. I have the sixth most popular podcast. Comedy
it's okay,
podcast.
Okay.
He's
We're
so
number 29
tired.
On the USA.
He is so tired. You are so tired right now, aren't you?
All right, get the animals out of here. Get
You're just
the animals
a tired
out
guy.
Of here.
It's okay to
Enough
be tired.
Visual bits.
I'm tired. Right. I'm
Toss
tired of Ted
out.
Nivison. I'm so tired of Ted running this podcast with him.
Go shut the fuck up.
One day it'll just be you and me. You
oh
and me,
God.
Jambo, Editor, till the end of
Editor,
time.
Boost this audio of Mochi just eating lettuce into the mic. You hear that?
We were on such a roll.
This is the best the show has ever been. You guys are gonna.
Ted doesn't have a pet because he's lonely and lame. Come on, give us a meow. Give me a meow, Jambo. I didn't buy you to be silent.
Mochi, you want to give them a little noise?
Hey, that's my hey.
You want a meow?
You want a woof? You want a woof?
We should move into a normal topic now.
Do you want a woof for the microphone?
You want to give them a little? You want to
give me a meow?
You want
meow?
To sniff? You want to sniff the audio listeners?
You want to give it a little sniff? Chant sniffer?
Hope no one listening to this number 6 comedy podcast has any good ratings.
I can feel the ratings drop as this goes on.
No, they're gonna fucking love this.
Okay, he's gone.
I still have Mochi. Keep going the topic because she is not gonna leave until she has devoured all this lettuce. So
okay,
all right. Well, Ted, you went gambling. Tell me about that.
I went gambling. I did a trip to Vegas very recently. I'd never gone to Vegas before. It was definitely an interesting experience to say the least, but I did gamble for the first time. I've never gambled before. 23, I've been able to gamble for 2 years.
What did you gamble on?
Really bad.
So I'm a bit embarrassed to say this, but
We did slots.
I wanted to try it because it was like, it's the closest thing to what I understand too, being like doing arcade shit, you know?
Yeah,
it was like an arcade
game. Makes sense. It makes sense.
But I ended up losing like $220 on slots.
Yeah, you know. That's generally what happens.
Well, I called Schlatt one day because I needed him to upload the podcast for the Minx episode, and he was telling me, like, Ted, you do realize that 90% of the casino's profits come from slot machines. And I didn't realize that. But given that statistic, I would have avoided them entirely. But I didn't actually end up getting into anything else besides that. So when you and me go, Schlatt, you're going to have to show me how to do roulette and shit like that.
Oh, well, roulette is easy. They spin a wheel and drop a ball. And then if you pick the right color, you get double. And if you pick the wrong color. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You drop the ball all the time. You drop the ball all the fucking time. I mean, we all do. We all do.
Like, she's about to take a little bit of a gamble right now. So I'm going to put her back. Hey.
All right.
It's okay.
But yeah, dude.
The one thing that was when we were driving to Vegas, something about, I guess it's because from LA to Vegas, there's just one fucking highway the whole way. It took us, it's supposed to be normally with no traffic, it's like a fucking 4 hour drive or something like that. It took us like 6 or 7 hours to get there because there was this like hour, if you ever look at Google Maps, there was like this hour and a half delay to get to Las Vegas. So that what we ended up trying to do was we were looking on Waze, we were looking on all these other shit to find to see if there was some sort of other road we could take through this fucking desert to get to Las Vegas. And we found that there was this option between going right on a highway, merging off onto something, another smaller route, or to continue on where we were going. And at the last second, in the last maybe 30 seconds before I was turning, Google suddenly updated and cut off like an hour and a half.
Oh.
And we made our first gamble of the entire trip where we chose to go with the Google way, which ended up being even more chaos because then we get off and it takes us onto a dirt road. And turns out a lot of other people are using Google Maps. Mm. So there's traffic on the
dirt road.
On the dirt road traffic.
That's
and
big.
Like imagine like the most, like a lot of the houses and property out there is just in the middle of nowhere, a lot of sand and everything, and we're on this like dirt road next to the highway.
Yeah.
And then I see people start turning onto the extra other roads. And I'm in my truck, so I'm like, well, fine. So we're taking another additional route, and I'm basically driving over sand at this point with all these other cars. And then we eventually return to where the highway, return onto the highway is the that zone. But everyone who is trying to avoid that traffic is also trying to get onto this on-ramp. So you've got people driving over, like, just making their own roads. If you can imagine the worst driving conditions and the most assholes on the road, they all were just in this place.
I'd imagine, I'd call that place New York City. But, I mean, no, but you know, this might be, like, this might be the second most common place.
Like, imagine normal traffic. If you're on normal traffic on a highway and you see that one guy that, like, pulls out into the breakdown lane and goes around,
yeah,
you know,
and then everybody,
you don't see that often.
It.
Imagine everyone is doing that, and they're all trying to cut each other off with zero shame whatsoever, because everyone's just sitting in the hot sun.
Drivers.
And I didn't get my truck fixed, by the way, so the air conditioning doesn't really work.
Oh,
so but it ended up being a good trip. I mean, it ended up, you know, we stayed at the Bellagio.
Yeah, you lost $200.
You know, we saw
bucks.
The fountains. We saw the fountains. It was nice. A good trip. I would definitely like to do that with some other folks.
Favorite part, Ted? What was your favorite part?
The most interesting part was that people just straight up smoke in the casinos. People were walking around just smoking cigars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was like an entire in this casino, there was no smoke zones. The entire casino was a smoke zone.
Damn.
That sounds bad.
I would see, I probably got maybe 1% secondhand smoke from smoked what would be worth like a couple cigarettes that weekend.
Holy shit, man. Jeez.
But I saw this one lady who was like, she was sitting in a slot machine. She's got a fucking glass of whiskey in one hand. And then like a Cuban in the other.
And that's why they allow it.
She's got like $500 in the slot machine that she's gambling, she's just tapping the thing to keep rolling over and over again. And then we saw them later, and they were like $20 left, and they just lose it all. It's always you know how it is. The house always wins.
Where do you guys think the sponsor money goes? Where do you think it goes? We were talking about it earlier.
It goes to the house. In gambling, it goes to the house.
It always comes back to the house.
I say only, but that is just because I had already in my mind sort of set apart a certain amount of money I was willing to gamble for this weekend. Like I was like $300. I was like, okay, I'm going to put $300 towards gambling. I'm not going to go over that because I don't want a fucking gambling addiction. So I ended up using like 220 of that on the slots, and then I didn't use the extra 80, and then it was like, you know, it didn't seem like. But I definitely do. I think, you know, it was mostly we mostly went for the there's a lot of cool restaurants and stuff, and there's a lot more experiences in Vegas these days, I think, than there was like back in like the 50s when it was like the gambling zone, because there's like it's more like a there's a lot of family resort shit, you know.
I agree. I think the whole family should learn to take risks.
And Charlie. We got to get the kids started early.
I completely agree.
This is one thing maybe Charlie... Well, actually, you don't even drink, so this wouldn't even be an advantage for you. But there was a Taco Bell cantina, they were selling alcoholic Baja Blasts in these giant swirly cups.
Jesus Christ.
That is a whole mixture of cultures.
whole mixture of cultures, whole mixture of problems right there.
Oh, God.
But overall, very cool experiences all around coming from the Ted Town.
I'm jealous, man. Did you say why you chose Vegas?
I just had never been to Vegas before, really. Like my 2016 road trip with Tucker, we had stopped in Vegas just to get a bumper sticker, but I'd never been in a circumstance where I was old enough or like financially ready to go to Vegas. And like, this is the first time ever that I have like money in my life that I have money that I could just kind of like throw.
And you can make it, and it's crazy. You can make it more money there.
That is true. That is true.
And it feels so good.
Yeah, it does.
And you shouldn't stop.
Okay. So I'm sort of lost here, Charlie. Are you saying that I should, Charlie, are you a gambler?
I just think I think it's crazy.
Have you seen Kakeguri? Are you ready to
that one gamble? Is it an anime?
That's the gambling anime.
Oh my god, an anime! You know, Schlatt's. You know, Schlatt's big into anime.
Schlatt's a huge anime.
Schlatt's so big into anime, and he's a compulsive gambler as well. He has a
and he's ready to
addiction.
Throw it all on the line for one big gamble.
Gambling and anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I've got to talk about today. I mean,
well,
I got my two topics. You got anything else? You guys got anything else you want to talk about?
Hey, I ran out of lettuce for Mochi. I don't think there's much else to discuss.
Really?
Yeah. Flat? But she's up there rolling the dice now because of you, Ted. Fucking terrible influence.
I'm going to go gambling. We're all going to go gambling.
We're all going to go together.
Yeah.
Charlie, would you go to Vegas?
You know, I've never had the desire to,
but I guess
just to have the experience. I mean, there's like nothing in there I'd particularly like, right? Like I wouldn't go to Vegas.
It is. So here's what I will say.
Yeah, why not?
Even if you don't necessarily like to gamble yourself, it is very fun to watch people gamble too.
That is something
that you can like witness and enjoy because especially when you're with your friends, because you can kind of enjoy.
Yeah,
when you see
I would go with some friends and bring 200 and be prepared to basically spend $200 for the entertainment. The entertainment being me losing $200 to gambling.
Yeah.
So that is what I would expect.
It's really fun to go out to the dinners and stuff like this. One dinner we went to, it was like this place called Bazaar Meat, but not like Bazaar Meat, like Bazaar Meat.
Right.
And what we did was we had this, it was a very expensive dinner, but it was like, it was cool because it was one of those experience dinners that you do where they bring out every little pieces of everything.
Yeah.
You know? And those kind of experiences, I think, make it worth the money spent because it's like, you don't really get that anywhere else.
But you know,
so that's why
As good as that sounds, Ted, as good as it sounds to have all those little tapas, it doesn't come close. Tapas. Doesn't come close to the chuckle sandwich.
Sandwich.
Ooh, podcast. You already knew it was coming. You already knew it was coming.
Yes, that's very true.
We did it. We did it.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Chuckle Sandwich Podcast. Audio listeners, love you to death. Video listeners, you're all right. This has been us talking, chatting.
What do we call this?
Goodbye.
Catch you next week, folks.
Oh, God. Hopefully not.
Bye-bye.